Hallelujah. Praise God. Man, I see we got some preachers coming up now. Guys and gals. Man, hallelujah. Every one of them did fantastic, didn't they? Praise the Lord. Well, several of them talked about the lack of the Word of God. And that's not only prevalent in their age group, but it's prevalent throughout the entire body of Christ. The reason why that unsound doctrine and heresy is getting by with what it's getting by with is the simple fact, the simple truth that people don't pick up their Bible and read it for themselves. If somebody picks and chooses verses for you, they can convince you of anything. And you'll believe that you're right. And sad to say, once you begin to do, you know, and you know what's amazing? We are ministers like myself, Jim and Gary and Homer, and the different ones they mentioned. We are saying all these things, but it amazes me that my pastor, Pastor Dave, has been saying these things for years. For years. If you go back and listen to what the foundation that he began to put us on from the very beginning about how to meditate the Word of God and take nothing out of context and find the parts in the Word of God where a subject began and where it ended, all those things that we've taught around here for years about meditation, assimilation, and imagery, how to get into the Word of God and understand it for yourself. He was teaching those things years ago, and he contributes all that, or goes back, traces all that back to a place of praying in tongues. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Amen. I appreciate everything that all these young adults have said this morning. I want to hear from an associate of mine. I appreciate Homer so much and his ministry, and Rosie. Rosie, we want to hear from you before he comes. But here's a man that loves the Lord. He is has a shepherd's heart. And I want to hear his perspective, not just on the conference, but also from what he's hearing from the Holy Spirit currently as well. I know we haven't had a break as of yet, and usually a lot of you take that time to run to the restroom. If you need to during this, that's okay. But I don't want to break this right now. I want to go right on the heels of what they've had to say to hear also from Homer and Rosie. Rosie, come up for just a moment. Let's give her a great big hand.
I felt young at the trip. I was one of them. But, I mean, I had a great time. The fellowship going up there. Oh, all I heard was Kirsten laughing. She was loud. Her laugh was loud. She goes, and we would get out of service, and she's like, we're going to need exercise for our cheeks because all that laughing, or what is it, Botox? Yeah, she's like, we just had a great time. And, I mean, the word was the same as what we hear here. I mean, but we got to meet a lot of people from Russia, Oklahoma. We met some real great people from Omaha, not Oklahoma, but Oklahoma too. But they were great people. And what blessed me is just we would go to a restaurant, and we would laugh and share food and crack up, and people would come up to us and it's like, where are y'all from? And we'd tell them, oh, small town, Mockley, Florida. And she goes, what are y'all doing here? She goes, oh, we're here for a church conference with our young adults and stuff. She goes, God bless y'all. Y'all seem so happy. I mean, you really seem like there's love. And a couple of times that we went, and it's like, and then it was like 10 o'clock, we went to IHOP to go eat because we were hungry. And the lights went out, and some lady, you know, told us the same thing about that. And then Mockley time, it was 12 o'clock, so the boys started, and the girls started singing happy birthday to me because the next day was my birthday. And here's the lights off, and they're singing happy birthday. Surprise! It's like, but actually the lights had gone out because it was raining. But I was blessed, I mean, to see Dave, of course, lay hands on people, and of course prayed for Homer. And he said he was healed. He received his healing. And just hanging around everybody. It was wonderful. I had a blessed time, and me and Homer got to spend time together, you know, just by ourselves, no kids. But it was great. I mean, we got to get closer to everyone, and I want to go again. You know, I know we're getting older, but I mean, I feel young still. But I was really blessed. I mean, the word was awesome. Nathan, him and his wife were great people. Wonderful, beautiful voice she's got. And just meeting all the other people that are on this walk, it was a blessing. I was Hallelujah. Blessed.
Thanks, God. Hallelujah. Doesn't that just bless you to hear from other people? Yes. I mean, besides for your pastor, and so you're hearing it from people that really, and you could tell that every single one of them, there was nothing programmed. Praise God. And the most amazing part, as we've said for years about revival, is that we're actually going to be able to get along with each other. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask Homer to come right now. And do you need the pulpit down here? Would you like to? Yeah, that's fine. Would you guys grab that? And for I want him to share and, of course, take whatever time or liberty he needs to. Don't say that. We will do some other stuff at the close of the service that we haven't done. That's greed and fellowship for a little bit and take up an offering. And I do have some other announcements that need to be made. But right now I'd like for Homer to come. Rosie. Come, keep going straight. And here's a mic.
Somebody moved the pulpit. Pastor did it on purpose. Hallelujah. I just had a blast in general. Not even downplaying the doctrine at all, because Nathan, whew, you know, talking to him personally, he's gone through the book of Romans 1,000 times, and if you hear him minister, you'll know that he meant it, because he can articulate that book well. But the fellowship to me was more than anything, because again, I'm not downplaying any doctrine that we heard out there. It was powerful, but we've been hearing it for a long time, and I've been paying attention. I've been paying attention to what pastor's pulpit, and we all got the same message because we got the same Holy Spirit. But the fellowship was truly amazing to me. It just goes to show, you know, that if you read Acts chapter 2, they were, you know, there's only one mind of Christ, people. There's not two minds of Christ. There's one mind of Christ. There's a unanimous mind, and loving God is loving people. Those aren't two separate thoughts. That's one thought. You can't love God and not be in love with people.
That's right.
It's just that it seems like there's two thoughts, but it's only one thought. And I just had a blast, and I'm going to say, I learned something about each and every one of them. But I think Kirsten was very reserved in her testimony. She was very reserved, because I learned something from that young lady. She's going to be teaching the gospel one day, because she has a reservoir of knowledge and wisdom inside of her that just, it left me in awe. It left me in awe hearing her talk about Jesus and about what we're taught. It left me in awe. She was very reserved, and she spoke well. But she was very reserved on what she knows about this walk. And I was in awe. And I learned something about each and every one of them. Me and Corey got close. He had us laughing the whole way. He had 5 or 6 hours of glory where he just made us laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. And I seen another part of him at Tulsa in the worship time that was incredible, that it blessed me to see. And me and Robert and Harry on the way back, we just laughed and we talked and we sang, and Alex slept and Renee drove and Mavis drunk liquids after liquid after liquid after liquid. And every 16.7 minutes she had to go to the bathroom. Kirsten was right behind her. But it was incredible. It was incredible. If in these last days, if we're going to be persecuted, And maybe they'll colonize us. You never know. But if it does happen, so be it. Because I learned something from my brothers and sisters that we have to break bread together. Listen to me. We have to break bread together. Pastor nailed it when he said earlier, if you just come in here that I'm coming in here for Jesus and not about the brethren, that's not true, man. That's not true. There's something wrong with our walk if we don't desire the brethren. There's something terribly wrong with our walk if we do not desire the brethren to be with them. How do you know that, Homer? It's none of your business. Because I used to walk in here like that. I'm going to walk in there and worship Jesus and the heck with everybody else. Boy, was I an idiot. I was wrong, people. I'm not wrong anymore, though. But I had an absolute blast. I just had a blast with all of them. I learned something about each and every one of them. Each and every one of them. And I would do it all over again. The ride was long, but Corey made the long ride real short. Silence! That's an inside joke. Y'all don't know what that means. Gary Carpenter started that, so to make a reference to the flesh. But it was incredible. I had a time of my life. And I want to thank you and Pastor Bronk and Miss Candy, because though we went as chaperones, and thank God Melody went to take care of me and my wife. And Melody, I've known Melody, but I haven't known her. I didn't know a woman with a master's could be so much fun. She is an incredible, incredible young lady, and she helped us a lot. I didn't chaperone nothing. She did everything. I said, get him, Melody, get him all. But I had a blast with her. She drove one day, wasn't supposed to anyway, long story short. Pastor caught on. But and I didn't know somebody with a master's that wanted to be an administrator in a school could be so much fun. And to break bread with her and everybody and Emily and everybody, it was just incredible. I urge you with all my heart, listen to this. Fellowship with your brothers. Not just with Pastor Bronk, or not just with me. Fellowship with your brothers. There is power in that, man. You get to smell somebody's skin when you do that. You get to know their weaknesses and their strongholds. Break bread with them, man. Not with the same people. Break bread. There's power in the fellowship. Everybody forgot to say that. I figured somebody would say it. We went into a restaurant the last night, the IHOP, right? And there was a lady there, and from what I heard, that IHOP had been real slow for months. Is that correct? And the lady was there, a waitress, and from what I gather, I overheard Melody and Renee and maybe Robert talk about it. And they came to the van and said, there was this lady there that was crying. So what happened? I was being, nosy. I said, well, why was she crying? Then what happened? They said, well, that lady had been praying. She had called her husband up and said that they had no money for the rent, that she didn't know what they were going to do. And her and her husband prayed over the phone. Is that correct? And they prayed over the phone that something would happen. And lo and behold, by the time we got done, there was 40 people from the conference there at the IHOP. And between all of us, we all were able to tip her enough for her to pay her monthly mortgage, correct? And she cried. And I said, you know what, Renee? Here, go give her some more. And Renee went in and gave her some more. And you know what? There's something about people that pray in the Holy Ghost. It was obvious that everywhere we went, not one person lied about their testimony today. People were saying, we were so, you know how I can get loud. I was dancing, singing. We were loud. People were in almost an appreciation of our loudness. But you know what? I told Pastor Bronk, there's something about a tongue talker that they carry. And there's an anointing that people felt everywhere we went. So what if we get persecuted one day and they colonize us, put us all in one group? That's awesome for us. So what if they segregate us as believers? So what? Because there's power in unity. There's power in knowing each other. And I had an absolute blast. And I want to thank the church for sending me and my wife, because we got to spend a lot of time together. I mean, we hardly ever do. We got so many kids and people at our house all the time. It was great. Just holding my wife, just me and her. And I want to thank everybody that sent me and people that blessed us and provided ways, you know, just that we didn't, actually we came back with money. We came back with money. We didn't spend a penny, not one penny of our money, and came back with money where people in Tulsa would put stuff in my pocket. I said, I can get used to this. Yeah, a guy from Russia said, here you go. So what's this? Oh, I know what this is. But I came back with money in my pocket, didn't spend a dime. But I want to thank Pastor Bronk so much for what we're taught. For what we're taught. I mean, I don't know who's here today. I don't know who's not here. But I'll live and die by this. I won't argue it no more with anybody. I won't argue this. I'll live and die by it. I'll live and die by what we're taught. So my experience in the conference was incredible. I'm going to probably just exhort you for about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, because I really feel, I think Pastor has something to say, and it's in my spirit. But I will for 10 or 15 minutes, probably at the most, hopefully. Corey, you know what to do, Corey. And I learned that Corey doesn't cough in the van either. But we had a blast. But I've been going through Titus and regarding this conference, regarding what the Lord showed me, and that we're going to start again for right now once a month because there's such a hunger. We had over 80-something people, according to Barbara Fish, at the homecoming service, and we stopped counting at 80. And you could have heard a pin drop at that homecoming service. And there is an anointing, a grace out there between those young people between 18 and 35, that there's something there. And I would be in complete disobedience to not have that torch continue. So we're going to start once a month, starting next Sunday at 6 o'clock. Once a month, we're going to have a young adult service again, once a month for right now, until I feel different and until I run it by Pastor Bronk. But we're going to start next Sunday at 6 o'clock, our young adult meetings for once a month. But even with that, you know, Pastor started off talking to me about sound doctrine and God. And guys, you know my stance. You know where I stand with this. I'll live and die by what we're taught. I'll live and die by it. And sound doctrine is vital. My God, it is vital because there's none out there. I shouldn't say there's none out there. That's too biased. But sound doctrine is scarce out there. It's so scarce. What you hear out there is nowhere close to the truth. But I want to share something with you. Going through the book of Titus over and over again yesterday and early this morning, receiving the mind of Christ from this masterpiece, as every book in the Bible is a masterpiece. But Titus specifies, it talks about sound doctrine. It talks about adorning the doctrine of God. It talks about the bishops and the elders, about the sound doctrine that they are to walk in and present. But let me share something with you. Nathan articulated the book of Romans probably like at the same capacity, the same level as Pastor Dave. It was incredible. The young man can articulate that book to a T. But let me share with you the mistake that I made on this walk when I first started. One or two things can happen on this walk with the truth that we receive. One or two things can happen when me and you present what we are taught by the elders in our life. One or two things can happen when we give somebody the truth that we hear from Pastor Dave, Pastor Bronk, to Gary, to all the elders in our life. One or two things can happen. Either people can think we know a lot, or they're going to think we're very stupid, because what we teach and what we're taught by the Holy Ghost is against everything that is taught nowadays. Either we're going to sound like we know what we're talking about, or we're going to sound like we're completely ignorant of the scriptures. So let me teach you something, a mistake that I made early when I got on this walk. My righteousness was that I knew something that somebody else didn't. That was my righteousness. I was praying in tongues, and I've always been overall a good steward. You might say, well, Homer, you got a lot of time now. You don't work. Well, Even when I worked, I was a pretty decent steward of my prayer time. Even with 8, 9, 10 hours a day, nothing really stopped me. So we got to throw that out the door. Well, it's easy for you because you don't work well. I was pretty decent when I did work with a family, with football games, and with 8, 9, 10 hours of a job. I still, overall, was a pretty decent steward of that. But listen to this. Listen to this. Nathan articulated the book of Romans like, it seems like he has chapter 1 through the end memorized. And he articulates it like I articulate 1 John, because 1 John is my book to the day I die. It's my book. But he can articulate it to a T. But let me share something with you that's paramount, that supersedes articulation. And I've grown to know him personally. And I know this young man was qualified to offer up the service that he offered up in Tulsa. He was qualified in the spirit to say the things that he did. But do not get caught up, my friends. Listen to this, and you'll know what I'm talking about when I'm done. Because of errors that I made on this walk at the beginning, my righteousness, I have a good friend of mine, Jacob Gagos, is here, and he can testify this. My righteousness was that I knew more than everybody else because I prayed in tongues. But it was seasoned with no love. It was seasoned with no love, but I was puffed up. And I've heard people say, and I know your heart in this, but I want to make sure that you're not 1 or 2 degrees off on this. Don't get caught up in the way he articulated the book. Get caught up in the change that the book brings. It's so easy to want to sound presentable to people. It's so easy to want to stand up before someone so they can hear what you think you know. But desire the change that reading those 50 books brings to your soul and to your spirit. Desire that change that 1 John will bring to you. Desire that change. I wanted to be heard in the beginning. I wanted you to hear what I knew with no substance in my life. Don't desire to articulate. Desire the change that going through those books brings in your soul and your spirit. Something happened the other day. And I'm not going to go who, what, when. That's not even important at all. Sound doctrine, according to the book of Titus, is vital. Paul instructed Titus, he said, but speak thou the things that become of sound doctrine. And in chapter 2 of Titus, he listed what sound doctrine was. He listed what sound doctrine. Titus, this is what you present to the cities in the island of Crete. This is what you present to them. This is what you teach them. You speak the things that become sound doctrine. Things is plural. It's not singular. There's a lot of things that Paul told Titus to present to the cities in Crete. You preach the things. You speak the things that become sound doctrine. Things is plural. It's not singular. There's a lot of things that he said, this is what people walk in that know Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But friends, don't get caught up in just presenting sound doctrine, though this revival is going to be on sound doctrine. We know that. And you know that I'm underneath my pastor as an elder in this church. You know what my disposition is on sound doctrine. You heard me before. It is vital. But something supersedes that. And that is walking in sound doctrine. That's what Paul told Titus in chapter 1 of the book of Titus. He said, look, hold fast the word. Hold fast the faithful word that you have been taught. Listen to what he said. He said, Titus, you have to hold fast the faithful word that you have been taught so that you may, by sound doctrine, be able to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. My friends, it's not what we articulate that should turn us on. It should be the change that this walk that Pastor Dave through the Holy Ghost, that Pastor Bronk through the Holy Ghost, the change that this walk brings to our being. Don't get caught up in articulating. Don't get caught up in preaching. Don't get caught up in teaching. Get caught up in the change that this walk brings to our being if we can grasp it and come to comprehend it, my friends.
Yes, amen. Amen, amen.
Before he told him, you speak the things that become some sound doctrine. He said, before you speak these things, Titus, it's vital that when you anoint a bishop or an elder in a city, it's vital that that bishop and elder that you ordain, it's vital that they present sound doctrine. But Titus, it's vital that they're walking out sound doctrine within themselves first. He said, you got to hold fast the faithful word that you have been taught. Hold fast, Harry. Hold fast, Robert. Hold fast, Homer, the faithful word that you have been taught. Why? So that by sound doctrine that you walk in, you may be able to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Not by what we say. It's easy to speak great words. It's easy. Don't desire that. Don't desire the pulpit. Desire the change that this walk brings. Desire to do what Pastor Bronk teaches us 2 or 3 days a week to do. Two or three times a week to do. Desire the walk, the change that it brings to our being and to our soul. Don't get caught up in presenting sound doctrine and sound doctrine and sound doctrine and sound doctrine if you're not walking in it. Because it's real easy, my friends. I'm guilty of that. But Paul said, when you anoint a bishop or an elder, Titus, when you anoint him, they got to hold fast to the faithful word that they have been taught, that they may, by sound doctrine, be able to exhort and convince the gainsayers. These last words, desire Jesus, my friends. Everything in a nutshell that I just said, desire Jesus. Don't desire the glamour or the glory. If he thinks you need to preach, he'll put you in that place. Pastor Bronk won't hold you down. He hears from God. Don't desire the articulation. I've heard a lot of people got caught up in that. Well, I want to articulate Romans like that, and that's good. And I know what you meant by it, but I just want to make sure you're not a degree or two off. Don't desire to articulate. If you meditate a book, it's going to come out. Trust me. It's going to come out. But desire the change that Romans brings. Somebody asked me the other night, they said, what do I do about this issue in my life? And I went on to exhort them and to share with them some doctrine in my life about what to do about an issue in their life. I said, well, this is what you do to do away with this problem. I was right and I was wrong. My friends, at the rebirth, when the Holy Spirit breathed the breath of life into your being, at that very moment, you were free from the power of sin. So that person is here today. I'm going to take back some of the counsel that I gave you. You don't have to read 1 John to get rid of that problem. You just got to want to get rid of that problem to get rid of the problem. You say no to it. Plain and simple. You say no to it. Because the day you were born again, sufficiency was deposited inside of your being. Now 1 John will bring that transformation. It'll make it easier, but make no mistake, the day you got born again, you received the power to say no to any damnable thing that this flesh says that you have to walk in. You don't have to wait tomorrow. You don't have to do a 40-day fast. You don't have to read 1 John 1,000 times for 15 years. No. You got the power to let it go. When? At the rebirth. At the rebirth. Everything that Nathan talked about, and he laid it all down, he spoke it to a T. And he spoke it, and I received it from him because I know he walks in it. That young man at 29 years old has all my respect. But the power to say no to the flesh is in you already. It's just a matter of, do you want to lay it down, or do you want it to be your kinsman? Do you want it to be related to you, or are you going to kick it to the curb? The power's there. In these last 2 minutes, because I really know Pastor Bronk, I feel in my spirit he has something he has to say, and I felt it this morning. I didn't even feel I had. I was to go up today, but he asked me, so I did, and subservient to him. I felt that he needed to speak today, but that's neither here nor there. Something was said to me, and I know First John is working, Pastor Bronk, and I want you to hear this. Probably take me 2 minutes, and I want you to hear. Something was said to me that hurt. It hurt bad. It hurt me bad. It was said to me, and it hurt. And I took an offense for like 2 or 3 minutes, and I shook it off. And this is something you don't even say playing around to somebody. And somebody said it to me, and it hurt. This is something you don't even, I couldn't even say this playing around with somebody. But after about 2 or 3 minutes, I came to the conclusion that my love walk with God was measured at that moment. And it broke my heart. Not at what was said to me, but it broke my heart that what was said to me bothered me. How am I ever going to lay down my life for the gospel's sake if I let a comment, an insignificant comment, bother me? And my heart was broke, Pastor Bronk, not at what the person told me, Pastor Bronk. Before Almighty God, I swear to you, before Almighty God, my heart was broken because I allowed an insignificant comment to take my peace. My love walk was measured and I didn't like where I was at. So what do? I journeyed back into what I know to do. And that's the apostles' doctrine. I measured my love and I go back in there again. And I did real good because I didn't say nothing back. I endured it. But my own heart was broken because I let it break my heart. You understand what I'm saying? My own heart was broken because I let it break my heart. If I'm ever going to be dropped off into Afghanistan or in a Muslim country and make it and testify to Jesus, I'm going to be able to have to overcome a simple comment like that, my friends. If I'm going to lay it all down at the gospel, for the gospel's sake, I'm going to have to be more than be able to just to endure a comment like that. And nothing against that person at all. Just my heart was broken because I allowed it to be broken. I still got to keep plowing away. I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to say. I'm going to let you figure this out on your own. I asked my wife this morning, can you figure out what this means? And I'm not going to go into it. Through 1 John. And I'll talk to you about it later at my house. I'm not going to talk. I'm just going to leave you with that thought. And I'm going to give the mic to Pastor Bunker and run off like a wild man into the wind. I found out through 1 John that I do not have to love twice. And you're going to say, what is he talking about? That I do not have to love twice to love twice. I only have to love once to love twice. And if any of you know what that means, I'm going to be very, very, very upset. You better not know what that means. I do not have to love twice to love twice. I only have to love once. You better not know what that means, Terry. I only have to love once to love twice. I am so blessed to be part of this church. I'm even more blessed to be under my pastor and Miss Candy and Pastor Dave. And I had an absolute blast with the young adults of this church Sunday. 6 o'clock, let's start this journey again. Amen. Amen. Pastor.
Hallelujah. Well, that was just perfect. Amen. Hallelujah. That's just pure gold. Just pure, absolute, pure gold. You don't have to stop. Hallelujah. That was just perfect. And everything that every one of them said was perfect. It really was. God. Hallelujah. I weep. And it's a wonderful, it's a beautiful thing. It's, I'm not sad. I'm not heartbroken. I feel His love. But I feel in that love such a awesome fear. When I hear these young adults and I hear Homer and I realize what we've been called to do, I shake, I tremble when they give beautiful and sincere accolades and say nice things and wonderful things about myself and the appreciation and nice and wonderful things about Homer and what they've been taught. My heart is overwhelmed and it walks in fear because I realize that what I'm teaching them, what He's teaching them, there's never a point that you cannot continue to do that, that you cannot continue to do that as a leader, as an overseer for yourself. What does that mean? In other words, you never arrive. I never arrive. Homer never arrives. What they're saying in appreciation about us, we can receive that with a simple and a humble thank you. But I also realize the utter importance, the absolute utter continual importance to continue to stay on the walk that we're teaching them. To continue to do the things daily. In Acts chapter 28, Paul or Luke wrote Acts. In the last part of that book, it's talking about Paul's life, and it says, and he was in Rome, and I'm paraphrasing, under house arrest. And for two whole years, the Bible says, it says it like that, for two whole years he was there in Rome. And he received visitors, and it says something like, and no man forbade him. He was arrested by Rome, but he was at house arrest. He could not go outside of that. During that was about 60 to 62 AD. During that time, while he was under house arrest, he wrote some books of the Bible. We went over some of that Wednesday night. Two of those books that he wrote, one was the book of Colossians. Another one was the book of Philemon. And we're not going to go into those books, but there was an interesting part that we brought out Wednesday night about those two books. When Paul gets ready in his salutations, like, see you later, I'm writing to you, these are my closing words, he would greet, or he would send greetings or see you later salutations from not only himself but from other men that were partying with him. In other words, they were there in Rome with him. In Colossians, it was eight different men that he mentioned, and five of those eight different men sent kind of like personal words of howdy or see you later. One of those men that was with Paul, he mentions a number of different men, and many of them we would recognize their names because they are repeated. In fact, five of those men are repeated again in the book of Philemon. One of those men's names in the book of Colossians was the man named Demas. And Demas was with him. He was with him during that time. And Paul was saying, Demas sends you greetings. One place, he says, Demas is a fellow laborer with me. In other words, he is laboring in the gospel. He's teaching this gospel with me. When he gets to Philemon, when he mentions those five men that were with him, and he says, they're sending personal greetings. one of those five men that must have been a tremendous friend, a companion, was Demas, the man Demas. He's mentioned again. He's two times he's mentioned with an honorable mention. These guys said something that blew me away. Homer had already mentioned it to me. He said at the conference, there were five websites that were listed. We were one of them. I praise God for that. I praise God for that. It's sad. I won't go into this too much. I'm forbade to do that. It's sad that many of the ministries that I know personally, that I love, some of those ministries beyond measure, they're no longer part. They were no longer part at that particular conference. Demas was getting honorable mentions. That makes you feel good. That makes you feel wonderful. My pastor is endorsing me. Paul endorsed Demas. Demas sat with Paul. He knew his doctrine. 6 or 7 years later, he writes another book. Between Colossians and Philemon and between Acts 28, he's released from prison and he carries on another missionary tour. I said 6 or 7 years. That's probably 5 years because I think the book of 2 Timothy, being his last book, was written around 67 AD. When Paul writes to 2 Timothy, when he's writing to his son in the Spirit, who's back at Ephesus pastoring a church, he asks him to come see him because he realizes this is it. And he says, I've fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord will give me on that day. And not only for me, but for everybody that lives godly and follows God, walks in this. But one of the saddest things that you'll ever read in the Word of God, after a man has gotten two honorable mentions, Demas says hi to you, Demas says goodbye to you, he says this: Demas has forsaken me. Demas has forsaken me. Now, we broke down in the Greek what that means, and we're not going to go into it this morning, but it means to let down, it means to walk away, it means to forsake. Demas wasn't just saying goodbye to Paul. He was saying goodbye to his walk. Because he said this: Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. The word world there is the word eons, which means a dispensation. Paul said this: Demas is loving this present life. He has departed from me. He has forsaken me. And he has gone to Thessalonica. Now, I don't know what Thessalonica held for Demas. What was in Thessalonica? Was it a woman? Was it riches? Was it prestige? Something drew Demas away after having walked with Paul and having walked with God. What does that say for you? What does that say to you, Pastor? It tells me this: no matter what, it confirms exactly what Homer was saying a moment ago. No matter what you know, you got to walk in it. Demas had heard it and heard it and heard it and sat right next to Paul. And Paul, Demas could probably teach it as good as Paul could. But there's one thing to hear it and to be able to repeat it. There's another thing to walk in it. You have to fellowship with God on a continual basis. And that's the tears. Tears of appreciation, tears of an awesomeness. I fear and tremble the same way Homer fears and trembles and says, Lord, you've given us a wonderful opportunity. We're going to see a revival by the grace of God like the world has never seen. Glory. Thousands and thousands being born again. Glory be to God. Well, what are you going to do, Pastor? Tomorrow I'm going to do what I'm telling these guys to do. Well, isn't there, don't you get kind of arrived? Don't you kind of, you know, get seniority kind of prestige with God? Listen, don't do that. Don't ever get to that place. When David backslid for a season, you know why? Because when everybody else went out to war, David was like, you know what? I'm the chief pastor here. I don't have to go out to war anymore. I can sit at the palace. Sit at the palace. Fall into adultery. No, you got to, what you're telling them to do, you've got to do. Paul said to Timothy, understand what I'm telling you. You must first, the husbandman or the vine dresser must first partake of the fruit. What you're telling them to do, you better be doing, Timothy. Glory to God. Well, we had a whole bunch of good preachers this morning. I appreciate Homer. He's an overseer. He oversees. He's got a wonderful heart ministry. Hallelujah. This morning, I'm going to ask you, as we leave here in fellowship, this could be an opportunity for you to say, wow, this is good. I can just, this is the closing, so I can slip out the door and I don't have to give anything. That's none of you in here. Praise God. That probably was a flesh statement. No, it was okay. It was just kidding. I'd ask you to search your heart, because part of this revival is giving. A real part of it is giving. And you know that. There are going to be ministries of helps that are sent. Mavis, you're supposed to make your million because you're supposed to finance this. Okay, thank you. I seen her get up. I thought she was trying to slip out the door. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Receptacles up here. And don't forget, next Sunday at what time? 6 o'clock. That'll be young adults. Okay. And okay. The only thing that we're asking is, this is different than, you know, we used to refer to Homer as the youth pastor. He is not the youth pastor. Okay. That is all changed. Okay. Don't his ministry is to everybody. He'll minister to a grasshopper, you know. But the thing about it is we have to reach what God is saying for us to reach at whatever time. And nobody will be left out if we do that, okay? If we obey the Holy Spirit, nobody will be left out. But we're not wanting you guys to bring in a lot of little kids and a lot of junior hires during this time. It's specifically going to be aimed at these age groups. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, God bless you. Please bring this down and greet each other. You're blessed. Amen.